How many of you are glad? What a Baptist Church after 4 years, 3 years and a half, to be more exact. I just came back from Brazil, and each time I just come back from Brazil, my English is rusty. My southern accent is very strong. And then it takes me a while until my English comes back to me. But how many of you are so far understanding my English? Raise your hand. Nobody ever told you that, but this church has the gift of interpretation. Pastor Gene Leslie, he used to go to Brazil. He went to Brazil many, many times. God always used him behind the pulpit. Souls were saved. Good results. But I'm here to confess something that I never confessed before. It was never his preaching. I was translating for him, and I was preaching my own messages. I hope he is listening this. I hope he's watching us tonight. So, Pastor Leslie, it was not you, sir. No, it was him. God using him. I want to thank you for allowing us to be one of your missionaries. Pastor John, the first time I came to this church, I was a college student. I came here as a college student. And I had nothing to give the church but my own word, promising that I was going back to Brazil and that I was going to become a church planter, independent Baptist church planter, just like my pastor, missionary Jimmy Rose. And the church believed in us, and the church took us on for support when I was still in college. So this church has been behind us for at least 30 years now. Isn't that a blessing? I am not that old. It's just because I was very young back then. And I want to thank you for being behind us all these years. And whatever we accomplish in Brazil, we are accomplishing together. This is what missions is all about. So tonight, I'm so grateful to get to know your new pastor, Brother John Herdman. And I believe his family, are those two your two daughters? The secret to success, always please the pastor's wife. But Pastor John, I know you are preaching to your people. I know you are bringing the word of God and feeding your people. So tonight I decided that I'm going to preach my report. Because I'm here to give a report. And I'm going to preach my report. But before I do that, I just want to say that I'm grateful to see missionary Paul Pritchard, missionary to Brazil. He has left good work in Brazil, people that were saved under his ministry. And Pastor Pritchard, he has known me since I was a very, very young man. Probably 14, 15, I don't remember, when he went to Brazil as a missionary. And he worked in a city not too far from our city. And then we got to know him and his beautiful family. And I'm so grateful for all the years that you dedicated your life for the people and for the country of Brazil. And Pastor John was asking us to pray for other nations that are not as fortunate as we are in the States, and I had never seen Brazil going down to socialism as I have seen in the last few years. Right now, we have a journalist, we have the president of a political party, and we have also a congressman, the three of them being put in prison because of their opinions. They are strong-willed people, and they say whatever they want. Sometimes they come across in the wrong way. But I thought that in a democracy, we were allowed to speak up. I thought that in a real democracy, we could say whatever we want. But that's not the case in Brazil anymore. And preachers all over the country there are afraid. We are afraid of saying anything behind the pulpit and then being accused of this or that and even being put in prison. I never thought that I was going to see that in the country of Brazil. But this pandemic time opened the doors for this kind of persecution and dictatorship. So you pray for Brazil. September the 7th, the country is preparing to march in the capital city of Brasilia and other major cities of Brazil, asking for freedom and asking for some of the judges from the Supreme Court to be removed from their position. I don't know what's going to happen, but I believe that millions of people will march in the major cities of Brazil. So Brazil is right now facing political turmoil, and it's not easy. The president we have is very conservative. He believes God, family, and nation. But by family, he means a man and a woman. And because of that, he is being hated to the core. He is being hated to the core. He believes in the nation. He wants Brazil first. Have you heard that before? He wants Brazil first. And because of that, he's also being hated. And of course, he's not perfect. Nobody is. But because most evangelical churches and even the Catholic Church are behind him because of his moral values, persecution is coming to the churches as well. So this is the situation, I believe, from my point of view, that's happening in the country of Brazil today. So one more reason for you to pray for this country, that God will use us and God will help us and give us wisdom to face all the situations we are facing today in that country. Now, yesterday, or the day before yesterday, a lawyer from Brazil asked me this question. Pastor Rom,
how is freedom there in the USA? I said, well, it all depends. Here, the states are very independent. So I am usually in the Bible Belt area, and I feel no pressure. I have no problem in the Bible Belt. Perhaps if you go to other states, you might feel more pressure, but not where I'm at, because the states are very independent within the country. Well, that's not the case in Brazil, right, Pastor Preacher? There in Brazil, everything depends on the capital city of Brasilia. So we are not independent at all, and that's why all the decisions from the top will affect the people that are in the bottom. So pray for us that God will help us to come along this situation with success. Now, when the pandemic started, in our case, March 18th, we were not allowed to go to the church. We were in lockdown for 5.5 months. And after we were allowed back, only 25% of our capacity. And just this week, we were allowed 100% back into our churches. Praise the Lord. But as soon as we had the lockdowns, we gathered all the 6 churches of our ministry online. And I was able to minister to them for 5.5 months online. We call our services online. We never use the word church online. It is impossible to have church online. The word church means assembly. So to be a church, we need to be gathered together. Amen. but I call them services online. And we had services online for 5 months and a half. And I asked God to give me wisdom to minister and to help those churches during that time. And then I prayed a prayer, a very bold prayer. I asked God to spare all the members, all the people that were a part of the 6 churches from this disease, from this virus. And then in spite of more than, I believe now, 600,000 people that died because of COVID in Brazil, I know it's too early to say this, but I must say, for the glory of God, 18 months later, we did not lose one single person from the 6 churches the Lord has given us. We had people being very sick, being put in the hospital, but by the grace of God, we have not lost one single person to this moment. We did lose a few people very close to us, but no one from these 6 churches that we have established. And I believe this is only by the grace of God. And then if someone asks me what happened to me during this pandemic time, and by the way, folks, I'm already preaching, okay? So don't worry about time. So when people ask me what is happening to me or what happened to me during this pandemic time, I have an answer. My faith in my God increased. I don't know how much faith I had before, but one of the fruits of the Spirit that grew the most in my soul is the fruit of faith. I could not have been the pastor that I was, the spiritual leader, the father, the husband, the son, the brother, the friend. I could not have been the missionary that I have been for these last 18 months if I did not believe God is in control. That God will take me to heaven when it's my time, with or without COVID, because or in spite of COVID, that God will take me home exactly according to His perfect will for my life. And I needed faith to face this pandemic in Brazil, because I could not hide myself. I had to go out. I had to help people. I remember in the middle of the night, a couple called me because nobody, Uber, even ambulance, nobody wanted to take them to the hospital. And they were very sick. The wife had just fainted and she was burning with fever. I had to go there. I'll tell you the truth. I put 2 masks rather than 1. I opened all the windows of my car and I tried not to breathe. But I took them to the hospital. And then I gave them money to come back in a cab if they could. But we had to face those situations in Brazil all the time. And by the grace of God, no one in my family got contaminated. So we know this is only by the grace of God. There's no other explanation. So God increased my faith. But faith is just like being hungry. You have to eat all the time to avoid being hungry. And I need to exercise my faith every day, or I'm going to lack faith tomorrow. But faith has been the main gift God developed in my life during this pandemic. And how about you? What has God accomplished in your life during this pandemic time? Think about it and please answer this question in your heart, in your soul. I missed my pastor by 1 day, missionary Jimmy Rose. I arrived in Greenville on a Monday, and then his son told me he was in the hospital. He was put in the hospital the day before, Sunday night. And then his son told me the doctors were expecting to send him back home by Friday. But my pastor went to be with the Lord on Tuesday morning. So I missed him by one day. So it was not God's purpose for me to see my pastor once again alive, but I was able to participate in his funeral service. And then I was the last one to speak at his funeral. And before I was called to the pulpit, I was called to the pulpit. I gave my testimony, which I plan to do here tonight. And immediately after that, they played Dr. Harold Seitler's preaching from 1970. Brother Jimmy had been in Brazil for 8 years. And Harold Seitler said, "Jimmy Rose has been in Brazil for 8 years. One day, he is going to die on the mission field, or he's going to die here back home. But what he has already established in Brazil, what he has already begun in Brazil, will last forever. He has begun a circle, and there's no end to a circle. And I am a part of that circle. I was only 12 years of age when I got saved, but it was not that simple. I was a professional bartender. My father had a bar, and you have heard this before, and I was a professional bartender working behind the counter of in the bar, serving liquor to the customers, and I knew how to mix all kinds of drinks. And when my father was not watching me, I was drinking and dreaming about the day that I could become just like one of his customers. That was my desire, my plan for my future. But one day my father entered an elevator, and inside that elevator, he received a simple, small gospel tract from someone. And just out of curiosity, he decided to visit the church. The address was on the back of the tract. He went to the church that Sunday night. He understood nothing of the service, of the sermon, but he left his address behind. In less than a week, the pastor of the church, missionary Jimmy Rose, went to visit my father. And what a surprise! It was not the address of a house, it was the address of a bar. Bars in Brazil are very common. You find one in each corner of the city. Brother Jimmy entered the bar. I remember that day because I was there. And he was talking to my father aside, and I was serving liquor to the customers. But Brother Jimmy boldly told my father that day, "Mr. Ribeiro, if you want to serve God and save your little boy from an anguishing future, sell this bar and come to church with us." In less than a month, the bar had been sold. My father did go to church, and I, as a little boy, followed after his steps. And I went to church too, and in that church, I received the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. And now I tell parents all over the place, whatever decision you're making today will affect the lives of your children tomorrow. Big decisions, small decisions, it doesn't matter. They will influence the future of our children, next generation of our family. So tonight, my father, rather than having a son who is a drunkard, he has a son. He's a preacher of the Word of God. He's 83 years of age. He just became 83 last Sunday. And I owe my salvation to his decision. But first of all, I owe my salvation to Brother Jimmy Rose. When he left this country in 1962, I was not even born, but I was already a part of God's plan for his ministry. And then his church sent him to Brazil as a missionary with his wife and three little children. God already knew that he was going to reach me with the gospel. And this is what missions is all about. I got saved under the ministry of a strong missionary-minded church. And in less than 5 months, I understood the meaning of missions. Exactly what you are doing here tonight. And you are promoting missions throughout the month of August and September. I grew up under that kind of priority. Missions is the mission of the church. And I was attending a family camp meeting, and Brother Jimmy was preaching on missions. And to this day, I never heard someone preaching on missions more powerfully than Brother Jimmy Rose. And I was a new convert, and for the first time, I heard the names of missionary heroes that I had never heard before. He mentioned William Carey. When he left this country and went to the mission field, he told the pastors that stayed behind, "I'm going down, but you must stay here and hold the ropes." He mentioned the name of David Livingstone, whose heart was buried in Africa. His body was sent back home, but his heart stayed in Africa because the natives, they said his heart belongs to us. And John Knox, who prayed, "God, give me Scotland or I shall die." And he meant that prayer, and God not only gave him Scotland, but many other countries around. Hudson Taylor, who left his medical profession in London and went to be a simple missionary in China. And to this day, we are reaping results in China because of Hudson Taylor's ministry. So I understood the meaning of missions, that I was there in that family camp, saved, washed by the blood of Jesus, because of missions. Because Bible-believing churches, American Bible-believing churches, had sent my pastor to Brazil, and then through his ministry, I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. I decided to attend the invitation, just to thank God for missions, for my salvation, for my pastor. But as I was praying, kneeling down on the altar, thanking God for missions, I understood then God was also calling me to be a missionary myself. More specifically, to be a church planter. I got so excited because that call was so real to my soul. I got up from the altar and I told everybody around me, all the adults. Remember, I was only 12, 13 the most. And I told everybody around me, God called me to be a missionary, to be a church planter, just like my pastor, Jimmy Rose. But some adults, and adults, they can be a blessing. But sometimes, they can be a curse. A curse. Why am I saying that? Because I was a new convert and I was a child. And yet some adults told me I was mistaken, that I could not be a church planter because establishing churches was a ministry only for the American missionaries, because only the American missionaries had the tools to establish churches. But I remember giving this answer: if God is the one calling me, he will provide me with the tools. And you know what? He has provided me with all the tools. First of all, he allowed me to be saved under the ministry of an American missionary. And I grew up in a missionary-minded church. When my pastor heard that God had called me to be a missionary, he came to me and said, "You need to start preaching." What is that? "You need to start opening the Bible and teaching the Bible to other people." And then he said, I'm going to call you to preach your first sermon next Sunday afternoon at the zoo, downtown, Ribeirão Preto. I said, but what am I supposed to say? And he said, write down your testimony and tell others how you were saved and how they can be saved. So I did that. I spent the week writing down my testimony, and then I practiced, and I thought, Pastor Herdman, I thought I had at least a 30-minute sermon. But the day arrived. We went to the zoo, 3 p.m. We stood up there in front of people we had never met before. We sang a few songs. Brother Jimmy gave some announcements, and then he called me to preach. I stood up before those people. I was so nervous. I was so nervous. That was my first sermon, don't forget. That the 30-minute sermon, I was able to deliver it in 3 minutes. And I was done. I said everything in 3 minutes. But if I'm not mistaken, one person got saved that day. And I haven't stopped preaching since then. Then I grew up and I started helping my pastor. I was the youth leader for many, many years. I don't know how, but I was, Brother Dan, believe it or not, I was the music leader for many, many years in my church, and I don't know how to sing. Then one day, I entered the Bible Institute, established by Brother Jimmy, Brother Dan Johnson, and other American missionaries in Brazil. If I'm not mistaken, Brother Pritchard, you taught at that Bible Institute. And I entered that Bible Institute, one of the strongest that we have in our midst. And I graduated 3 years later. Then I thought I was ready for the ministry. When God, in a very special way, paved the way for me to come to the States and study at Bob Jones University. A few years prior to that, Dr. Bob Jones III had gone to Brazil, and he went to our church, and he saw that young man leading the music, preaching, open-air meetings. So he went to my pastor, and he told my pastor, Brother Jimmy, if that young man wants to come to the States, we'll give him a work scholarship. He just needs to learn English. But how could I learn English? I worked 45 hours a week. I would go to my job place at 7:30 in the morning, leave at 6 p.m., go to school around 7, go back home around 11:30, go to bed after midnight from Monday through Friday. Weekend, I always dedicated to my local church. I had no time to learn English, but I studied as much as I could. And in spite of not knowing English, Bob Jones allowed me to come. And I studied my first semester without knowing English. Can you imagine going through classes without understanding your teachers? That was my case. I could read some in English. I could write some words in English. But I could not understand spoken English. And I could not speak in English. So I had to study twice as much. And I had to borrow the notes from my friends. But in spite of that difficulty, I did well my first semester. And at the end of that semester, I remember Bob Jones Jr. was preaching in chapel, and I remember I understood the whole sermon. Tears came down my face, and I knew then that God had removed the barrier. And now I could understand English. I could speak in English. I not only learned English, I learned Southern English. Y'all be careful now, you hear? But folks, better than all of that, better than all of that, God gave me a wonderful wife. Without my wife, I could not have the ministry that I have today. I tell people she's not 50% of my ministry. She's 100% of my ministry. Amen. Rachel is a missionary kid, born and raised in Brazil. She's the third generation of missionaries in her family. Her grandparents were missionaries in Costa Rica, in Mexico, until they died. Her parents, the Gilmers, have been missionaries in Brazil since 1966, and they're still there, very busy. Now she is a missionary herself. Being born and raised in Brazil, she speaks Portuguese just like me. And she speaks English just like you. That's not fair. So God provided the tools. We went back to Brazil just with a promise. And some years later, we are back to tell you that by the grace of God, we have established 6 Bible-believing churches. Strong, missionary-minded, Bible-believing churches. That's not all. God allowed us to establish a seminary in Goiânia, Goiás. Hundreds of people have already graduated from that school. And then God allowed us to establish a Christian school. We named the school after my pastor's name, Jimmy Rose Christian School. And then God allowed me to be on the radio, BBN International, Bible Broadcasting Network, 3 times a day, 7 days a week. So when someone asks me, what's the meaning of grace? I like to say, grace is when God removes a 12-year-old boy from behind the counter of a bar and places him into a missionary family and then enables him to be a missionary himself. Amen. This is the meaning of grace to my own soul, to my own life. Now, I'm going to read a passage in the scriptures. Would you please open your Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 16. And I will read only verse 8. You know, this is the parable of the unjust steward. We are stewards. All of us here tonight, we are stewards. We have nothing. We learned during this pandemic that life does not belong to us. We kind of knew that before, but now this truth has become more real. Life does not belong to us. Nothing belongs to us. We like to say, my house, my car, my money, my health, my body, my life, my wife, my children, my church. Nothing is ours. Everything we use belongs to God. We are stewards. The question is, are we faithful or unjust stewards? Jesus, about this steward, he said, and the Lord commended the unjust steward, not for being unjust, but because he had done wisely. So God noticed that the steward was a wise person. And Jesus explained, for the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. This is very offensive. If I were the one telling you that, you would never invite me back to your church. But these are the words of Jesus. That the world out there, when it comes to the use of money, is wiser than the church here inside. And I can explain. My pastor used to say that if you went to the moon, you are likely to find there a sign which says, enjoy Coca-Cola. Even in Brazil, New Tribe Mission missionaries, they tell us that they reach tribes that had never contacted the world before, the civilized world. They reach tribes that had never seen the white men before. But they find there in those tribes Coca-Cola bottles. How can you explain that? That's because when the world has a message, they did not count the cost to spread their message. Most of the time, evil messages. They fight for what they believe. Right now in Brazil, we are promoting Christian education, like you did here in the 70s. We are now doing that in Brazil. In the 70s, we did that here because of evolution. Now we are doing that in Brazil because of LGBT. Because our kids are being taught in school that they can choose whatever they want to be. If you have a boy and send him to school, don't be surprised if a teacher will tell him, you don't need to be a boy, you can be whatever you want. And this tendency is getting stronger. And it will become law one of these days. So we are trying to establish Christian schools in Brazil because of that. Especially because of that. But you know what I have noticed? They don't count the cost. They go as far as they can to impose on the rest of the world their philosophy. No wonder Jesus is saying that when it comes to the use of money, the children of the world are wiser than the children of God. It has been 2,000 years and the church has not been able to spread the gospel all over the world yet. We don't see many young people being called to be missionaries anymore. We don't see that. We don't see the churches sending out hundreds of missionaries anymore because we are counting the cost. And because of that, we are not spreading the word of God around the world as we were told to do. So Jesus tells us now in verse 9 what to do about that. And I say unto you, now he's speaking to each one of us. This is what I call application. He's saying, make to yourselves friends of the mammon. Mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. Jesus is asking us, the children of light, to make friends with money. Mammon means money. And money is called unrighteousness here because the use of money is more frequently for bad purposes than for good purposes. That $10 bill you gave to the church tonight, yesterday, probably was used for drugs, prostitution, or any other kind of addiction, for some kind of a crime. But today, because that $10 bill was in your hand, it was used for the glory of God. So Jesus is asking us to use our possessions to make friends. But I thought that real friendship is free of cost. We should not buy friendship. This is not what Jesus is saying. But he's showing us that to spread the gospel and to make spiritual friends, that will cost us something. And he's asking us to use our abilities, to make such friends like that. That when he fail, it means when we die, because we are going to die, and when we die, we are not going to take anything with us to heaven. We are leaving everything behind, our investments, houses, any material possession. But if we made friends for eternity, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. My pastor used to say that when we go to heaven, we are going to find not only hundreds, but thousands of Brazilians that were saved because of missions. And tonight, I am only one Brazilian saying thank you for giving to the Lord. Thank you for sending out missionaries. Thank you for investing in the work of God. But one day in heaven, you're going to see thousands, if not millions, of Brazilians because of your love for missions. The circle began when Brother Jimmy Rose went to Brazil, and there's no end to that circle. Amen? This is what missions is all about. Make friends for eternity. And the only way you can do that is if you invest in missions, in the Great Commission of Jesus. Evangelist Tom Farrell went to be with the Lord just a few days ago. He went to Brazil like 4 or 5 years ago. He was already sick, but he was strong and he was doing his very best. He came to our main church, and I was his translator. And we began church number 6 in the poorest area of the city, called Jardim Cerrado. They're so poor over there. The roads are dirt roads. Then we had a family in our main church called João da Cruz family. João da Cruz and his wife, Terezinha, came from Piauí, a very, very poor state up north in Brazil. And they were so poor, they came with 8 children. We as a church helped them with clothes, food, and medicine. But they became a part of the church. Happy people, friendly people. Then they received a house from the government. In Brazil, when you receive a house from the government, that means a very tiny little house and in a faraway place. So they moved to this place, one of the poorest area of the city, an hour and a half far from our church. So they no longer could come to our church. They began a children's ministry in their house. Hundreds of children on the street all day long, barefoot, just in their shorts. So they called those children to their home, gave them juice, played with them, and taught them the gospel. Then some parents would come with the children. They gave them the gospel. I knew then I had to start a church in that place. I would send a bus to that place from time to time to bring those children to the main church for them to sing, to show us what they had learned. So during this evangelistic conference with Tom Farrell, we sent a bus. Those children were going to sing a special during the service. We sent the bus to pick them up, and some of the parents decided to jump into the bus to come with their children. Nobody told me that. Then, only 2 people knew that inside the bus was the most wanted criminal of the whole Midwest of Brazil, a drug lord, a very dangerous man. But one of his children was in the choir, and he decided to check the church and hear his child singing. So he was there, in the middle of the church, in the middle of the congregation. The man of God gave the word of God, I translated, when I gave the invitation, that man left his pew and he came to the altar and he got saved. That same night, he vanished. He took his family away and they vanished. To this day, we don't know where they are at. But for him to change his lifestyle, for him to become a Christian, for him to follow the gospel, he had to flee. He had to go away. Only God knows where he's at today. But he must be in a good church serving the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what missions is all about. This church, I believe, is the most promising church of our ministry. Not financially. They'll never be financially strong. I told you, they are in a very poor area. What I'm saying is going to shock you, but it is true. The cost of living in Brazil is as high as it is here in the States. And sometimes higher, depending on what you're trying to buy. And yet, the minimum wage in Brazil is only $300 a month. And most of our people will make only the minimum wage. So I know that church will never be strong financially. But today, I believe, is the strongest spiritual church we have. And I'll tell you why and I'll finish. During the pandemic, the government told them, stay home. They could not stay home. They have to leave in the morning, make some money so they can eat in the evening. No government can keep people like that home. It means they all got contaminated. Even João da Cruz's family. He's so old. He's in his 90s. Everybody got contaminated. So they created what we call herd immunity. They never stopped coming to the services. Amen. And that church was able to grow during the pandemic. Now tell me if that's not the most promising church of our ministry. And how many of you believe in miracles? And I'm done. We need a miracle. But I have seen this miracle happening before. We need to build them a church. And whatever love offering we are receiving from our churches is being applied immediately to help us to build their church. If we build a church for 150 people, we'll have 150 people in that building. 200, we'll have 200 people in that building. Because that area is so poor, so poor. And poor people, I don't know why, they don't count the cost. When they get saved, they get saved. Pray for this ministry. Now we are going to watch a video presentation. And after that, I am done. Pastor John will come and conclude the service. But please, when you watch the video, you need to see your church in those pictures. I am an extension of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church in another country. So we are doing the work of God together. It's not my ministry, but our ministry. And if you believe that, this church will always be very strong in missions. God bless you very, very much.